It was the best of times, it was the worst of times. That's how Charles Dickens started off the novel Tale of Two Cities. But that introduction could also start a novel about your agency. Jeff Neal is Senior Vice President at ICF International, former Chief Human Capital Officer at the Homeland Security Department, and writing on the Chief HRO blog. And he says he sees a lot of similarities between the federal government and the Dickensian world. Only you, my friend, only you could figure out a way to connect Charles Dickens and the federal government. I commend you on being able to do that, my friend.
Thank you very much. Now I'm going to have to see if I can do a Christmas post based on a Christmas carol.
The ghost of HR past.
Yes, that could be fun.
If anybody can do it, you can do it. You're the man for the job, my friend.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
As you look at the Tale of Two Agencies, though, and you spin this on the Chief HRO blog, and we have it linked at federalnewsradio.com, what's the dichotomy that you see here? What are kind of the various worlds that you're seeing in existence now?
Well, when you look at a federal agency or any large organization, there's a tendency that people have to think that the organization is just a very cohesive whole, and that everything is the same for one group of employees as it is for another group of employees. And the point I'm making is that when you're looking at trying to do things like change the culture of an organization, you need to recognize that different people are starting from different perspectives. And I gave the example of my experience in the Department of Defense, going up through the levels from a GS-5, where I started, to a member of the senior executive service. You know, when you're an SCS, when I was an SCS, I'd get to work and park in my reserve parking spot, and I would walk into my office suite. It was a suite of offices, and walk past my deputy and her secretary and my executive assistant, and, you know, people would bring things to me, and I would go to meetings that I set up, and you know, I would get involved in meetings where we would make decisions about the future of the agency. And, you know, in DOD, when you walk in, they stand up. And so that's what it was like as an SCS. As a GS-5, I sat in what I called a fabric-covered box, you know, a little cubicle, which is really a horrible place to work. I think cubicles are terrible. I got to do work that people assigned to me. I got to learn about what was going on in the agency when somebody decided to tell me what was going on. It was I didn't get a reserved parking space. I would, you know, park a long distance away and hike in the rain and get wet. So it's a very different world, and it's not surprising then that when you look at employee surveys, higher ranking employees frequently will have a much more positive view of the organization than lower ranking employees because they're differently situated. They have a different work life. And I've made the point before that in effect, they work in two different agencies. And so we shouldn't expect them to have the same view.
How does that then connect to things like Federal Employee Viewpoint Survey and the work that the Partnership for Public Service does to interpret that? And then how does that knowledge connect to how somebody in your former role as a chief human capital officer or other kind of HR leader in an agency should interpret the way that people are looking at how their agencies operate?
Well, I think what you need to do is you need to start slicing and dicing your data and looking at responses to employee surveys based on demographics. And what you'll find is that higher level employees may have one set of views. Lower graded employees might have a different set of views. Employees in the headquarters might have a very different perspective from employees in the field. Male employees might have a different perspective from female employees. And if you start digging into that, then you can start seeing where you have problems in the agency. And what you may find is that some of what you think are problems aren't, and some things you don't think are problems are. If you look at the Federal Employee Viewpoint Survey, particularly in the years where OPM does a census, where they actually survey all federal employees, not just a sample, you can really drill down in an agency and see where the problems are. And so an agency that has an average ranking in the Federal Employee Viewpoint Survey probably has pockets that are far, far above average and pockets of the agency that are far below average. And if you want to deal with problems, you need to find out where the problems are, which parts of the organization are really ones with morale issues, and then develop solutions based on those problems in those organizations. You can't just take the average for the entire agency and then come up with solutions or interventions based on the average. You have to start looking at what the data is telling you at a much more closely defined level than that.
Jeff Neal is telling a tale of two agencies on the chiefhro.com blog and on federalnewsradio.com. Are people going into that data at that level yet? Are there best practices to understand what the data means and how to be able to make those distinctions and understand what they mean? Or because it sounds like I agree with you that the making those distinctions and understanding the data to that level would be valuable, but it sounds like it might be unplowed ground and there might be some level of guesswork involved or at least very subjective interpretation.
Well, I think some agencies are very good at digging into survey data and understanding what the data is telling them. Other agencies look at it at a macro level and say, okay, here's what we're going to do for the entire agency. So I think there are agencies that are quite good at it. I wouldn't be surprised if the agencies that are actually doing better in the best places to work rankings that the Partnership for Public Service does, I wouldn't be surprised if those agencies aren't actually using the data much more thoughtfully than some of the agencies that aren't doing as well. And you really can, when you start digging into the data, you can find out a lot of things that you wouldn't really know if you just looked at it collectively for the entire agency. We had an issue in the Defense Logistics Agency where we were having a particular problem in a field activity. And we came to some conclusions about what we thought the problem was and came up with what we thought would be a good solution. And then we started digging into the data, and it turned out the problem was actually exactly the opposite of what we thought it had been. And if we had actually implemented the solution that we came up with originally, we would have exacerbated the problem. We wouldn't have fixed it at all. But we had to dig into the data at a field activity level and then within that field organization to the individual divisions within it to actually find out what the problem was. And so it does make a big difference when you start digging into it that way.
It sounds like part of the issue is the willingness to really get up to your elbows in the data then rather than just have the report fall on your desk, read through it, make some decisions, and go.
Absolutely. You've got to be willing to dig into it. You have to have the expertise to do that. And then you have to be willing to have solutions that might not apply to your entire agency. You might need to be willing to say, you know, the problem is really in Organization X, and we're going to put our effort in fixing the problems in Organization X. The rest of the agency, go on and do what you're doing now because you're fine. But some people don't want to do that. They don't want to treat people differently, even though that's actually the way to get to a solution.
I also hear, from your example, a willingness to use the four W's. Wow, we were wrong.
Yes. If you're not willing to do that, you'll probably never get things fixed.
What if I want to try to change course and head in the direction that you're suggesting here, what are the first couple of important steps to take, Jeff?
First couple of things are to start getting into the data and looking at it by various demographic splits. Look at age groups. Look at geographic location. Look at whether or not they're managers. Look at gender and race and ethnic differences in the responses. And you'll find that you learn a lot. You'll start to understand that the workforce isn't a monolith. It's not all thinking the same way. It's a lot of people with different points of view, and sometimes those points of view will be based on things like whether or not they're a supervisor or how high they are in the organization. It might be based on men having a different perspective than women. And once you do that, then you can come up with solutions.
When I look at your two lists, the SES and the GSers that you talked about at the beginning of our conversation, I might build in, if I'm looking at that data, I might build in a couple of points, assuming that somebody looking at the world from the perspective of the folks who are parking far away from the building, hiking to the door, going to the cube, having to stand up, giving the work, instead of coming up with the agenda themselves, they're probably automatically going to have a couple of points lower perspective, viewpoint of what they're seeing going on. Is that fair on my part? Is that a correct or incorrect assumption, do you think?
I think it's very fair, and I think that what it's really based on more than anything is access to information. The people at the top of an organization have far more access to information just by virtue of the type of work they do and the fact that they're actually making the decisions that other people have to be informed of. And there's an enormous benefit to knowing what's going on. That's the reason so many people are pushing for more transparency in government, for more transparency in management of agencies. Having information makes people feel more comfortable. You know, fear of the unknown is a very powerful thing. And so I honestly think the single biggest difference between the highest ranking people and the lowest ranking people is that access to information. And you can't have all of your employees participate in every decision, but you certainly can share information much more completely than a lot of agencies do. You can have a more transparent decision-making process. And I think you can begin to bring those perspectives of the two groups much closer together by taking care of issues like that.